This is the Money Seat Podcast, where we discuss all things investing, plain and simple, the way it should be. Please remember, this show is for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to be investment advice. Welcome back to the Money Seat Podcast. My guest today is Roger Connect. Roger is the president of Universal Accounting, and he helps entrepreneurs and accountants start up their own businesses and help to grow those businesses. Roger, welcome to the show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Gabe.
Roger, I know you're an accounting professional yourself. You're also an author. You also teach online courses. But let's start with accounting. Tell us a little bit more. What is Universal Accounting?
We are a post-secondary school for accounting professionals. So basically, we work with people that are wanting to pursue either careers in accounting, whether they're starting into the profession and just would like to get introduced to debits and credits and the like, or if they're happen to be, say, CPAs, enrolled agents, and they're trying to specialize in small business accounting procedures. We kind of run the gamut. The primary organization or work that we do happens to be with small business accounting firms. So if it's an owner of a bookkeeping, accounting, tax business, we're helping those people start and build their accounting companies.
So tell me, what does the world of accounting look like these days? You know, just before I came on this show, I looked it up and there's over a million accountants in America. I mean, what is the state of the industry, and is accounting, does it have an exciting future? And do you still recommend that people pursue the profession?
First of all, it's a wonderful profession. One of the things that I always stress is it's the second oldest profession. One of the things that I think a lot of people fail to realize is everyone's always wanting to account for what they have. Physical possessions are things that every industry, every economy, every culture tries to keep track of. And so accounting is not going anywhere. It's perhaps going to be one of those professions that kind of outlasts everything like a cockroach does. So what we're going to do is we're going to find ourselves never fading away. But I will tell you that it's changing, however. One of the things that's interesting about the accounting profession is currently, we find that there are more people retiring and leaving the profession than there are entering the profession. And so there's a deficit. Within the colleges, universities, we have too few people actually going into the profession. And it's because of that, there is a huge demand and a continued demand for accounting professionals, so much so that the accounting profession here in the United States is actually starting to lean outside and do offshore accounting services, where we're tapping into the markets that exist in, say, the Philippines, India, Pakistan. We're hitting into people in South America, South Africa, as we're trying to find ways to actually fill that gap. So if you have an interest in accounting, if you have a desire to get into that profession, it's clearly one that you can pursue, and you'll find opportunities as it relates to bookkeeping, accounting, tax. It's all there. And the other thing I'll point out is with the small business economy growing, as we see the economy growing, we're needing more and more of the accounting services, but there's too few people to actually provide that. Many of the people that are owning firms now are retiring, selling those off. So lots of good things going on right now as the demand is ever increasing.
How difficult is it to become an accountant?
Not too difficult. Now, I do say that with a tempered phrase here. First of all, if you're one who's pursued becoming, a CPA, an enrolled agent, that took quite a bit of study. It's typically a six-year degree that you're following to become a CPA. You're working for 2 years, basically trying to pass what is referred to as the CPA exam. That's very, very detailed. However, you can become an enrolled agent, and that's less taxing and involving. A lot of people can do that within months, if not maybe a year. It's recommended that maybe you go through a tax season just to get that under your belt. But more or less, you can become an enrolled agent quite quickly with the studying and so forth. But the best thing that I can point out is you can enter the profession and become a bookkeeper or even become a tax preparer, very successful, make six figures, and actually not have a 2 or a 4 year degree in accounting. It's not essential. It's not necessary. But there's a huge demand for bookkeeping and tax professionals. And if you can get that training and that confidence, you can easily meet that demand.
So tell us more about how do people start their own practice?
Oh, That's a great question. So it kind of ranges. For many people, it's they got into the accounting profession, pursued a degree, worked in the accounting profession in one way or another, and then for whatever reason, they found themselves maybe just like a mechanic would, or maybe somebody that has a medical experience. You've got friends and family that lean in and say, hey, can you help me with something? And all of a sudden, these opportunities present themselves where you might find on weeknights, weekends, you're working for somebody that's got a side hustle, a hobby business, and all of a sudden, you realize, you know what, I've got 3, 4, 5 clients, and maybe I ought to do this a little bit more seriously. And so they step away from the day job they have and literally start working in their own business and growing their firm offering bookkeeping, accounting, and tax businesses. That's a very traditional way that this typically evolves. Some find themselves in a situation that for one reason or another, you know, life happens and you find yourself needing to go out on your own. And so there are many stories of individuals that just kind of get forced out of the workforce into employment, a self-employment that is. They start their business and their first employee that they hire is themselves and they're off and running. But the more traditional thing happens to be just basically individuals with some background, experience, exposure, and it just evolves into them growing from one client to 3 clients to 5 clients. But either way, what we do at the school is we actually accelerate that. There's a turnkey process that you can implement to ensure that you're basically addressing all the facets of the business, marketing, selling, pricing, and we basically dot the I's and cross the T's for those individuals that want to have a successful, thriving bookkeeping, accounting, or tax business.
What are the core services that a good accounting firm will offer?
Oh, I love this question. You know, for years now, I've been working with business owners, and I found that there was a discrepancy as it relates to what it is they expect when they're paying for bookkeeping, accounting, and tax services. And then I went to the accounting profession, and I asked the bookkeepers, the accountants, the tax preparers, what is it that they feel they're offering and being paid to do? And I quickly realized that there was a huge discrepancy between the two. The bookkeepers, they really didn't know how to describe what they're offering and really systematically provide that service. The business owners struggled to know what they were paying for and getting. And because they just didn't make sense to one another, I felt that last year I really needed to publish a book that helped explain to the business owner what they're paying for and what they can expect, and the bookkeepers, accountants, tax preparers, what they should be providing. And I'll answer your question now. It's very simple. What it came down to is every business needs bookkeeping, a record of the historical transactions that have happened in the business so that they can ultimately file their tax returns. I mean, that's what bookkeeping is. It's that record keeping. But there's another reason why bookkeeping's done. It's not just to pay taxes. It's to understand what's going on in the business, because accounting is the language of business. It's how the company talks to the business owner. And if the business owner is willing to listen, the company is trying to communicate through the accounting information what's working, what's going on, what needs help, what needs attention. Maybe this is related to cash flow. Maybe it's regarding accounts receivable. There's a variety of needs that the company has, and this is how it talks to the owner. Well, the accountant is meant to kind of pull that information out, see what trends are happening in the company, and ultimately try and give that information to the business owner in a useful manner that they can make more informed business decisions. And so that's the role of the bookkeeper and the accountant, but that then takes us to the next two. The next is tax planning and preparation. It's filing the tax returns and having a strategy to avoid or mitigate your tax liabilities and pay as little as necessary. And then the last happens to be CFO and advisory services. It's creating a business that has a cash flow business model that's profitable. It's working with the investors, the capital, making sure that everybody's taken care of, that there's a return on investment, that the company is actually thriving. And from an advisory point of view, it's ensuring that the company is actually being built with the intent of building value. The business is an asset. Eventually, it needs to be worth something. And there's going to be a transition from the original founder to someone else. Somebody else is going to buy it. Somebody else is going to run it. The company just doesn't disappear. It should actually be an extension, like a child that lives on in perpetuity apart from that business owner. So the three core services that you were asking about, accounting and bookkeeping, tax planning and preparation, CFO and advisory services. Kind of a lengthy answer, but that's the nutshell of it all.
Yeah, and I love the idea that the accountant should be adding value to the business, mm-hmm. right? Because I think some people have this idea that an accountant, you just drop off a bunch of papers, they do their magic, and that's it, right? And it seems like, I guess maybe I'll rephrase it. What should a business owner be asking their accountant to make sure that the accountant actually provides that feedback that they need to run their business.
Oh, I love it. From an accounting perspective, it's simply this. I would expect that the business owner is receiving from their accountant on a monthly, if not a quarterly basis, reports that are showing how does last month compare to the previous month financially? How does last month compare to the same month the previous year? How does the accounting work as it relates to accounts payable and accounts receivable? Do we have what is referred to as a current ratio that is positive for the company? We've got the money to run the business. How are we looking with regards to cash flow? Can we pay the bills, or are we dependent upon, let's say, loans or lines of credit? All of these things are what the accounting professional can be helping the business owner understand about their business to basically make better decisions. One of the things that's, I think, a very telltale sign of this recently was the inflation that many companies were experiencing. As we saw things going up in price, the business owner needed to understand what their margins were as to when they should be doing price increases themselves. And when they did a price increase, was it enough? Was it correct as to the need of the company as it relates to the other expenses going on? And so if you're a restaurant and you're buying produce and the produce is going up in cost and it was also expiring, going bad, and you had to throw it out, there was a lot of expense going on there. But with inflation, you had to be very timely as to how you changed your menu pricing to ensure you were continuing to be profitable. The accountant helps a lot with that. You're not running the business blindly, wondering and guessing, are you doing the proper things as it relates to payments and expenses and so forth? So that's where the accountant becomes very, very critical to the success of the business.
Speaking from your experience, what are some of the biggest mistakes that young entrepreneurs make, right? If you have a young entrepreneur, they just started their small business, and maybe they don't have that finance background or they don't have that accounting background. What are some of the mistakes people make?
Well, one of the big mistakes that they make is holding off and working with an accounting professional. It's typically the first thing that is outsourced. It's related to payroll needs of a company. It's related to cash flow needs of the company. Don't be reluctant and delay reaching out and getting that support. I highly recommend it. It is the first thing outsourced for a reason. It's because it's the lifeblood of the business. And the longer you delay that, the more at risk you put the company. The second thing I would say is, as it relates to the accounting professional, one of the things that you've got to be relying upon is two perspectives. There's what's called cash accounting and accrual accounting. And it can be very confusing for a small business owner to understand what the accrual information is trying to communicate versus the cash, whether or not there's money in the bank and so forth. But it's important that the business owner quickly learns what is accrual accounting and what is cash accounting so that they can better and more informed run the business. And what I'm trying to say here is the business owner needs to find time to step away from the day-to-day operations and literally look at the numbers and understand, okay, what's the company telling me? The company will say, that feels good. Keep doing that. That makes me happy. Stop doing this. This hurts. This is going to kill us. Stop doing this. And that's what we're looking for, is the accounting is talking to the business owner. And so the accountant is the one that's that translator, the interpreter of that information to help the business owner kind of understand what these financials are saying. So those are two big things that I would definitely suggest for anyone that's starting the business, is lean into the accounting profession and ask questions. Just, there's no such thing as a bad or a dumb question. Ask the questions, because the accountant can help you kind of mitigate a number of problems on the horizon.
Bringing it back to accountants who want to set up their own practice, how do they know what prices to set?
Oh, great question. Well, I'm going to say, first of all, it's your business, so you get to set your prices accordingly. I will also secondly point out, it varies across the country. I mean, someone in San Francisco is rightfully so going to be charging far more for those services just because of the cost of doing business than someone in a rural area may be doing. So there are a variety of factors that can play into pricing, but I am going to answer your question with basically the five most common pricing. So the first of which is hourly rate. A lot of people in the industry are familiar with hourly pricing. It's what you might be accustomed to working with lawyers, accountants. It's just a professional way of charging for fees or charging for services. The second would be flat rate. Flat rate is essentially where you're going to be in a position where you're just establishing for your clients a specific monthly fee that you're maybe charging for bookkeeping services, let's say. The third would actually be what's called menu pricing. Menu pricing is where you're literally looking at the business and saying, I'm going to put a bundle together that actually is very small in services. It's just maybe, say, bookkeeping services. The second is perhaps the more appropriate and the more common one, which is going to be bookkeeping, accounting, and tax services. The third is going to be the more expensive and the all-inclusive. It's one that very few of the clients will take. It's kind of the premier package, and it's including the CFO and advisory services. So it's bookkeeping, accounting, tax, CFO, and advisory. Well, what we're doing is we're bundling these packages such that we're pushing most of the clientele to the middle one, and we're just kind of positioning each of them so that the middle one seems to be the logical choice. And that's just a strategy that you can use. The fourth happens to be revenue pricing. It's the size of the business that you're servicing. You know, a business that's $100,000 in revenue versus $1 million in revenue versus $3 million in revenue. They vary in the number of transactions and the amount of work that's going to be done. And so you can sometimes just price your clients based on how busy or how big they are. And then the last happens to be value pricing. It's a little bit more involved and in-depth when you're working with the potential client. You're asking a number of questions about their business, what kind of industry they're in, and you're assessing this in essence what your client's expecting from you and the impact you can have in that relationship. And then you price accordingly. That can range. You could do the exact same job and work for one client and charge, say, $1,000 a month, and do the exact same thing for another client that's a little different, little bit more involved, and charge $3,000 a month. Both are happy, but you're each doing the same work. And so that's one of the things where the value comes in. So there's really those five ways to do it. I encourage people to choose two and stick with those two as they work with it. Traditionally, it's hourly for back work and project work, coupled with either flat rate or menu pricing. Those are the most common that I see charging.
Here in the San Francisco Bay Area where I live, people talk about AI all day, every day. How is AI impacting the world of accounting?
Quite a bit, actually. So if you're old enough like I am, you'll remember when we were going paperless. There was this whole idea of let's move to the cloud. And this is where you saw a lot of things going from the disk that we used to put into our computers, where you would log in online and try and get away from a paper environment. Well, similarly, we're finding that same experience as it relates to AI now. What's happening is everyone's seeing where can we incorporate into the accounting process AI. And the AI is very, very helpful. It can do some analytics and so forth. But there are two things that we want to be aware of. One is proprietary information. As an accounting profession, we've got access to some very private data, and we don't want to be putting that online for the AI to analyze and interpret, because then it goes out into the public domain. And so we've got to somehow keep that information in-house and not let the AI kind of take that out into the real world. And so that's very important. And we've got to be sensitive as accounting professionals that we're not just doing AI interpretation of data and not realizing that we've just given it to the world. The second thing I'd say is a lot of the services that we use, a lot of the tools and things that are already being utilized by accounting professionals are coincidentally taking AI interfaces and incorporating them into the process. So just to give you an example, in the accounting space, a very popular software that people know is called QuickBooks. It's a general ledger software package. Well, what you're finding is Intuit will find where into that process it can incorporate the AI to help do some analysis and help identify trends and such that it brings to the attention of either the business owner or to the attention of the accounting professional. But we're ultimately now going to take that information and then run with it. And so the AI is really, I think, going to accelerate how we're able to do our work and point out trends that are going on in the business. But there still is this little evolutionary thing that we're dealing with, which is a lot of this data is private, and we want to keep it behind a firewall so as to ensure that the AI doesn't take it and run and give it to the, you know, the global community, because it is proprietary. And so that's just one of the little safety things that we're dealing with right now as a profession.
Tell us a little bit more about your book. The title is Red to Black.
You bet. So this is a how-to guide for accounting professionals. One of the things that many business owners struggle with as it relates to business happens to be cash flow. It's the most common issue facing businesses is how do you manage cash flow to remain profitable? And so for the accounting professional, there are some very tried and proven things, steps that you can follow with a client to ensure that you're helping them move from being in the red, that's negative, to being in the black, which is positive. And so this is a telltale guide for the accounting professional that when they follow it, they can literally take their client and implement various strategies to ensure that they move into a cash positive situation and really become the hero for the client. Because a lot of business owners, they're very good at the products they develop or the services they offer. They're very good at marketing those, selling those, providing those. But at the end of the day, the business sense and the cash flow needed sometimes is a struggle. And as accounting professionals, if we can come in and help them kind of navigate that and put in place various things that they can do to ensure that they're always cash positive, you become basically the savior that you need to be that helps that business avoid bankruptcy and going out of business.
Got it. I'll put the links into the show notes so that people can find a copy of the book. Roger, tell us a little bit more about your online course. I believe you have a money management course online.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. Obviously, I'm in the accounting sphere. That's the space I'm in. But because I deal with numbers, many people that I know lean to me and come to me and say, hey, can you teach a finance class? Can you teach something regarding personal income and so forth? And so for a number of years, I kind of fought that pushback and said, well, actually, that's somebody you want like a wealth advisor, a financial planner. Well, at the end of the day, you know, I'm a softie at the heart. So I went ahead and said yes, and years ago developed a curriculum that was just basically something I would do with youth programs, youth ministers, young adults. And it kind of really blossomed. And as a course, really took off well for a lot of people that were kind of moving out of the house, going out on their own, starting families, newlyweds. And the personal finance course that I created was literally just an introduction to what is personal finance, what is going out on your own. And it's a beautiful course. It's actually quite fun to teach. The curriculum that I developed for it is literally for free. It's meant for individuals that are youth pastors, people that work with young adults, single parents. It's something you can do with each of them. And a lot of people just really enjoy it because it's an interactive experience where you literally get to see, okay, how does money work? And the first realization that a lot of people just fail to understand, especially when they aren't involved with mom and dad's finances in the household, is holy cow, there is a lot of expense before the money comes in the house. Yeah, you made a lot of money, but the first thing that happens is taxes come out, and then you've got a variety of other expenses that occur before you get anything to operate the house. You've got maybe health insurance, you've got life insurance, you've just got a variety of expenses that come right off the top before you ever have what you're going to be using to pay the bills. And so that personal finance course just kind of educates individuals as to what those are. But then once you get the money, where does that money go? It's the rent, it's the maintenance on the car, perhaps it's a vacation, it's paying for clothes and entertainment. And it's quickly apparent, especially for younger individuals who haven't had money that they're dealing with on a regular basis, it becomes very apparent how fastly it just disappears. Oh my heavens, there are a lot of tears shed and sometimes big ahas. And honestly, I've had people who are in their 30s, 40s, 50s who have literally said, why did nobody teach this to me? And that's one of the things that I quite enjoy teaching. It's a fun class.
That's amazing. So how long does it take to complete?
Usually it's about an hour to an hour and a half. It literally is that quick. And the way the class is done, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but you can go purchase chocolate that comes in a foil, a gold foil. It's shaped like a coin. I usually find these in some candy type stores. And what I'll do is I'll go buy these chocolates, spend, you know, $30, $40, and I'll buy basically these chocolates. And I have the coin itself represent $100. And so I'll have three households. I'll have one with basically 3,000 in coins. I'll have another that's 6,000 in coins, and I'll have another that's 10,000 in coins. So I have these stacks. It's kind of like Donald Duck with his gold coins stacked up. Well, the point is each of these three households are going to now have their expenses. And I have three people come up out of the audience. And we basically say, okay, you're going to be the head of household and you're going to pay the bills. So we just go down through the lots. Okay. Taxes. We're all going to pay different sets of taxes. Well, the $10,000 person, he's going to pay, let's say, 32% in taxes. The $3,000 person is going to pay 27% in taxes. So you owe this much, you owe this much. Take it right off. put it aside. That goes to Uncle Sam. Well, as you go down the line and you pay your health insurance, you pay your life insurance, you're paying for your mortgage, you're paying for your car. All these are based on, in the curriculum, national averages. And you just quickly start to see how the piles go away and disappear. And it's quite fascinating simply because it's tactile. You get to feel it and see this disappearing. And clearly the audience gets to enjoy it because they get to open up the foiled chocolates and eat the chocolates while we're going through the exercise.
I love it. And tell us, what's the URL? Where can people find the online course?
So the online course is at universalaccounting.com. And in the navigation, you'll find there what's called free resources. And if you go into the free resources, it's in the second section. And the second section has personal finance. That's the class. Just click on that. It takes you to a landing page where you can just fill out a form, and the form then gives you access. It basically allows you to create a profile so that you can go in and do the course.
I love it. Roger, tell us a little bit more about where people can reach out to you and learn more about Universal Accounting and about your book.
Well, first of all, where I just mentioned universalaccounting.com, there is that free resource section where you can find a lot of information. I coincidentally happen to host a podcast as well. Love to have people chime in. It's called Building the Premier Accounting Firm. So if you're in the accounting space or an entrepreneur, you very well will find a lot of the episodes quite interesting. But to connect with me, I really much enjoy individuals that connect with me on LinkedIn. It's a great place, a wonderful platform for us to connect, collaborate, message one another, and I'd love that. Just reach out to me there. Mention that you heard me on the podcast, and I'd be happy to see what more we might be able to do with one another to help you along individually or collectively.
Fantastic. Roger Connect, thank you very much for spending time with us this afternoon. I'll put all those links into the show notes. Thank you.
Gabe, this was a pleasure. I appreciate it. And always remember this, if it's about accounting, it's universal.
Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Money Seed Podcast. Please remember to click like and subscribe. It really helps spread the message to other investors, and it helps attract new viewers to the show. We appreciate your support. Thanks very much.